We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name is Gary Parrish, speaking to you from 54th and Broadway, New York City. Ben Adol's back in Memphis producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
My dad lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope if you're planning to enter FedEx Forum tonight for Grizz Warriors, that you've already got your tickets. Because if you don't, they're expensive. Nothing in the lower level is less than $250, according to StubHub, this afternoon. So if you want good seats, you're going to have to pay. Massive game tonight. Steph Curry and the Warriors are in town, but they will be shorthanded. Grizzlies, of course, shorthanded as well. Should be a fun night. Grizz trying to extend the winning streak to 10. Talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, ESPN's George Sedano is going to join me. Talk to him about a number of things in the NBA, including the Memphis Grizzlies. Sedano was a believer in what the Grizz were building earlier than most, and now we are getting to see it develop into, you know, a legitimate, on paper, Western Conference contender, probably a little earlier than most suspected. Entering the season, most folks thought the Grizz were still a year, maybe two away from trying to actually compete at the tip top of the sport. And they still might be, but I'll ask Sedano, is that what he expected, or did he think that the Grizzlies would, with a win on January 11, 2022, have an opportunity to pull into a third place tie in the West with the Utah Jazz? Because that is what is at stake tonight. George Sedano is going to join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Georgia beat Alabama last night to win their first national title in 41 years. The Bulldogs won. They covered. We'll talk about it around 4:44. Penny Hardaway said last night on his radio show that he tried to schedule the game against a Mountain West school, but it doesn't appear that game will happen. We'll spend a few minutes on that a little later on this hour. Big game tonight in college basketball. It's Auburn at Alabama. A Crimson Tide win would be good for the Tigers' resume, considering Memphis owns a win over Alabama. We'll discuss that just before 5 o'clock. And Antonio Brown, former football player, went to dinner last night in Los Angeles with Kanye West. While entering the restaurant, he acknowledged to paparazzi that taking off his clothes and quitting the Bucks mid-game on national television, quote, probably wasn't necessary or professional. So at least we're all on the same page now. I'll tell you more about that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Coggins, just like always, then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the Memphis Grizzlies. Massive game tonight inside FedEx Forum. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors are in town. They enter with a 30-9 record, tied with the Suns for the best record in the NBA, and they'll be trying to snap what is the longest active winning streak in the NBA. It's a 9-game winning streak. that belongs to the Grizzlies, who are now 28-14, alone in fourth in the West, and now just a half game back of third-place Utah, because third-place Utah lost to Detroit last night. So if the Grizzlies win tonight, they're going to have 29 victories, which will represent the third most in the NBA and the third most in the West. They would still be percentage points behind Utah from a winning percentage perspective, but the Grizz would more or less, with a win tonight, be tied with Utah in the Western Conference standings. Tied with Utah for third. Tip is scheduled tonight for 7 o'clock. The Warriors are listed as 2.5-point favorites, and according to Vivid Seats, this is the most expensive ticket in the NBA tonight. As of this afternoon, the get-in price as of this afternoon was around $50 on StubHub. That's like for one seat up top.
Mm-hmm.
At StubHub, everything available in the lower level was priced above $250. Big Bet Bennett?
Yes, sir.
You're going to be there for free. It's one of the perks of the job. Mm. Are you ready for Warriors Grizzlies? Are you ready for Steph and Ja?
I'm really fired up for this one.
I'm fired up for this one, too. I'm in another time zone.
Just because this, like, obviously the Grizzlies have gotten a lot of spotlight recently, but it really does feel like tonight that, like, the NBA world is just going to be watching this game.
There's no question. We got college football behind us. You know, it's a good night in college basketball. You know, multiple games featuring two ranked teams. But when you get the leading candidate to be the MVP, that's Steph Curry, Klay Thompson's second game back, and he is expected to play, plus a Warriors team that if they were to win tonight, while the Suns, if they were to lose in Toronto, you know, they would have the best record in the entire NBA. When you combine all of that with the opponent being a surging Grizzlies team that's won 9 straight games, longest active winning streak in the NBA, and the star power that Ja Morant now possesses because he's leading this team on this 9-game winning streak, and he's doing it in a variety of ways, but with one incredible highlight after another, whether he's catching an alley-oop, putting his chin on the rim, or blocking Avery Bradley's shot with two hands above the square. When you combine everything that's been happening leading into this, I do think you can argue it's the most interesting thing happening in American sports tonight. And it'll be the thing that is leading, I think, or at least somewhere in the A block of most, you know, sports network television shows in the morning, whether you watch Get Up or First Take or the shows on FS1, the shows on CBS Sports Network, I can promise you whatever happens tonight inside FedEx Forum is going to be a part of those shows tomorrow morning. And so it's a big game from that perspective, and a big opportunity for the Grizzlies because, you know, they don't get to play on national television too much. And I know NBA TV is not TNT. It's not ESPN. But it is still a channel that most cable subscribers get. And it means that it's a game that most people outside of the Memphis market are going to be able to watch if they choose to watch. Like, unless you've got NBA League Pass, you don't really watch the Grizzlies play games too often. You might see, if you live outside of this market, you might see Ja Morant highlights all the time. But you don't watch the Grizzlies play too often because, again, without League Pass, you don't have the opportunity to. Well, tonight gives people an opportunity to, and it could not come at a better time because the Grizzlies are playing well. The Grizzlies are playing well and grabbing people's attention. And Ja Morant is developing into, you know, one of the most, if not the most, talked about players in the NBA. It's all good stuff. And, you know, obviously the Grizzlies will be shorthanded without Dillon Brooks. But we now know that the Warriors will be shorthanded as well. Draymond Green, because of a calf injury, is not going to play tonight. And so you'll have two shorthanded teams, but teams that have, you know, flourished while shorthanded so far this season. So still a high-level game with high-level people. And as long as Steph and Ja are on the court, that's why you're paying the money you're paying to get into the building. What do you think it'll look like inside FedEx Forum tonight? I'm imagining it'll be packed, close to packed, and, you know, perhaps, right there with the Lakers game, one of the best atmospheres we've seen so far this season.
Yeah, I think that you'll see some Warriors fans. I don't think it'll be like you typically do when the Lakers come to town, but you will have people that come from out of town to see the Warriors. Like, I heard them talking about it on Jeff's show earlier. You'll have people from St. Louis and Jackson and whatnot coming to see Steph. So I expect to see some Warriors fans. But, yeah, it's going to be a wild environment, and I'm really fired up. I think the Grizzlies have a really good shot to win this game tonight because I think Draymond Green just matters that much in a game like this.
You know, kids love Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And so what you'll see is a lot of parents willing to travel or buy tickets to allow their kids to see Steph Curry. Like, we don't get those videos that surface on Twitter or Instagram of every team walking out of the Westin to get on a bus to take the short little trip to FedEx Forum. But I've seen those videos of the Warriors
yep.
when they're exiting the Westin. And there's always a lot of people out there just trying to get an autograph from Steph or a picture of Steph or just, you know, trying to set their eyes on, you know, somebody who's a two-time MVP, three-time world champion, and the favorite to be MVP again this season. Like, he is super duper popular with young people. And so, yes, you'll see a lot of young people in Steph Curry jerseys tonight. But you're also going to see a lot of young people in Ja Morant jerseys tonight.
Yep.
Like, that's the other thing that's happening right now. You know, Steph Curry reached a point in his career where he has fans in every market. There is not a place in the country where Steph Curry plays a basketball game where somebody's not wearing a Steph Curry jersey. Like, there's no NBA arena he plays in where somebody's not wearing a Steph Curry jersey. He could play in L.A. against the Lakers, Clippers. There's going to be somebody there in a Steph Curry jersey. He could play in New York. There's going to be somebody there in a Steph Curry jersey. And Ja Morant's not there yet, but he's on his way.
Yeah, he's close. He's close.
I predict we will live in a country someday where Ja Morant will not be able to play in an NBA arena without somebody in that arena wearing his jersey. He could be in San Francisco, Toronto, Chicago, New York, Miami, Indianapolis, doesn't matter. He is elevating to the type of stardom where every time he's in an arena, somebody's going to be there just because they wanted to see him. Steph's been at that level for a while. Obviously, LeBron, KD, I think Giannis is there. The list is not super small, but Ja's on his way to joining that list where wherever he goes, somebody's going to be there to see him. Tonight, we'll be on the other side of that. There's going to be some people in the building to see Steph Curry. But there are going to be a lot of people in the building tonight to see Ja Morant. And if he puts on another show in this one, it'll just continue to resonate throughout the league and continue to make it likely that he won't just be in the All-Star game, but possibly be a starter in the All-Star game. All good stuff. Tip-off is scheduled for 7 o'clock. Jessica Benson will have pregame for you at 6:30. Then Eric Hasseltine on the call at 7. George Sedano is going to join me next. I'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, the Warriors, and his Lakers because he's based in L.A. Are the Lakers even fixable at this point? We'll talk about it next. George Sedano's coming up. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Georgia Bulldogs won the national championship last night, beat Alabama in Indianapolis. First title in 41 years. Congrats to Horn Lake native N'Kobe Dean. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins is going to be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I'm going to spend a few minutes chatting with the great George Sedano from ESPN. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
Hey, George, before we get to basketball, you're obviously based in Los Angeles, do radio out there. Brandon Staley's timeout got a lot of attention in Sunday Night Football. Some have suggested it cost the Chargers a tie and by extension a trip to the playoffs. What's the truth with that situation?
I mean, I think all those things can be true, but I also think that he just basically outsmarted himself. Like, you know, there, the reality is he changed the personnel. He brought in an extra D lineman, but what he did was he also brought in an extra DB in place of a linebacker. And I just didn't understand that personnel grouping that he had, because if you're going to go big with an extra D lineman, or a bigger D lineman, rather, not an extra one, I don't understand why you would take out a linebacker when you know they're going to run the ball. And he admitted that in the post game and said, I changed the personnel because I thought they were going to run, but I just didn't understand that. Well, then why would you add a DB on the field? It just, none of that made sense. And it stinks because I like him. I love that he gambles. I love that he plays the math. But that one there, I know people want to blame analytics for everything. That had nothing to do with analytics. That was a gut decision, and it backfired. He should have stuck to his analytical decision, because that would have told him not to do that.
Talking to George Sedano from ESPN. He's on Twitter, at Sedano. So was that the dominant story for you guys yesterday?
Yeah. It was that, basically. And, you know, it's always the Lakers, too, in some capacity. Because Russell Westbrook had an answer yesterday, or 2 days ago now, to Bill Oram's question about where they are as a team after their loss to Memphis. And there was like at least a 10-second pause in there. So that doesn't bode well for the current state of the Lakers. But between that and the Raiders actually winning, because lo and behold, I don't think people know this, despite the fact the Raiders being in Vegas, they're actually L.A.'s football team still, because they're the only team in L.A.'s history to bring a Super Bowl to the town. So there's a ton of Raider fans here. But between that game and the Lakers situation after the Memphis game, that was the dominant conversation.
Are the Lakers fixable?
I mean, that's a complicated question, Gary. So I would say this. Anthony Davis comes back to being the Anthony Davis we saw the year they won the championship.
Sure.
Because I think he could be the human cheat code, right? If you look at his game and you look at his potential, which we've now seen, right, the peak of it, he's arguably the best player in the sport when he wants to be, you know what I'm saying, or when he's healthy. Or actually, you know what, a combination of both. Because I do think there's some days where you look at him and it's just so easy that I think that the drive isn't there. Like, if you could inject LeBron and Russ's personality into Anthony Davis, he would be the best player on the planet. Like, I don't even think it'd be arguable right now. You know what I mean? Just based on where LeBron is at this stage of his career. Despite that, LeBron is still putting up insane numbers. But, yeah, I mean, if he comes back to doing what we saw him do a couple years ago, and they tinker a little bit with that roster, because the defense stinks, and to be honest with you, the offense isn't all that good either. They need more guys who can do multiple things. They have too many specialists on this team, Gary.
So because the Grizzlies went to L.A., beat the Clippers, then beat the Lakers, they've now got a 9-game winning streak that is the longest active winning streak in the NBA. It's the longest single-season winning streak in franchise history. You were a believer in what the Grizzlies were building very early on. Now it's happening. Is this earlier than what you expected, or about what you expected?
It's about what I expected. I felt like, you know, we've had this conversation now 2 or 3 years ago almost now, and I felt like they could turn into the Oklahoma City Thunder of, you know, or some semblance of that, right, with Durant and Westbrook and Harden and Ibaka and that group. We'll see if they materialize into that, but, man, the trajectory is there. And, you know, when you look at what they've been able to do with Taylor Jenkins, who's an incredible coach, how they've been able to make all the pieces fit, how they've built a culture, and how Ja, you know, I'm not comparing their games, so please don't take it that way, nor their body types. They're not even remotely similar. And there's a lot of Kobe Bryant and Ja Morant. Holy moly. He does not care who he's going up against. He wants to kill everybody. And, you know, Russ is like that and was like that for a long time, but I think Ja is potentially even more talented than Russ at his peak. which says a lot. So I just believe that John Morant is capable of elevating a team to a championship as long as the pieces around him are good enough. And right now, they're all ascending together. I'm not saying they're winning a championship right now, but I think that they're certainly trending in the right direction.
What did you make of the two-hand block on Avery Bradley the other night?
I know that LaPhonso Ellis, I know you're a college basketball guy, LaPhonso Ellis is out there going, hey, man, I haven't seen anybody do that since me. look, it was incredible. It just goes to show you what kind of talent he is. There are very few people on the planet, forget about basketball, regardless of the sport, that could do what he just did in that game. He is all world. God, I love everything about his game.
How many players right now are more entertaining to watch? Not necessarily better, but more entertaining to watch. Just go up and down a basketball court than John Morant. The list has got to be short, isn't it?
It's pretty short. I mean, look, I'd still put LeBron on that list because what he's doing at 37 is something you have to marvel at, right? You know, Steph, who we'll be going against tonight in that conversation. You know, Giannis is probably in that conversation, especially now that he's shooting a little better. Durant, but that's it. Yeah, there's like 5-6 guys, man.
You mentioned LeBron, what he's doing at 37. I saw somebody tweet this the other night, and obviously people are always looking for new arguments to make in favor of LeBron being the GOAT or in favor of LeBron not being the GOAT. And I had never heard anybody quite put it this way. I thought it was an interesting take. They said, what makes LeBron James, you know, what he is that once upon a time, he was the youngest ever to do this and this and this and this. And now he's in the process of becoming the oldest ever to do this and this and this and this. That's an incredible career.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. If you look at it, and somebody tweeted this, I forgot which was the outlet that did it, but if you go look at every year that he has been in the NBA, at age 18, he was the guy who had scored the most points for an 18-year-old. Same thing for 19, 20, 20, all the way through, you know, 36. So, yeah, to your point, you know, I think the guy, he takes a lot of heat. Sometimes he brings it upon himself. I get it. You know, when you're in the league for 19 years or in the spotlight for much longer than that, because let's not forget, as you know, he's been in the spotlight well beyond that. I just feel like he takes a lot of heat. In retrospect, when we zoom out and look at the macro, we should be marveling at what the guy's done and certainly what he's still doing.
Talking to George Sedano from ESPN. He's on Twitter at Sedano. You mentioned the Warriors are in Memphis tonight. They enter with a 30-9 record despite playing 38 of those games without Klay Thompson. Now he's back. How surprised are you, if at all, that Golden State appears to be, and I know full-strength Brooklyn might be another monster, but at this point, at least from a record perspective, the Warriors are the best team in the NBA, right there tied with Phoenix atop the Western Conference standings.
So, surprised that they are there, not surprised that they are near the top. So, going into the season, I felt pretty bullish that they would be in that top three in the West. I didn't think they'd be this. I also didn't know what to expect from Klay, and I thought Klay played pretty well. I do hope that we temper the expectations on Klay. He, you know, playing on a lot of emotion, a lot of adrenaline the other night. I mean, hell, he went up and dunked and yammed it on him against Cleveland that night. I just think there's going to be nights where Klay doesn't look like what we even saw the other night, right? So I just think we have to kind of be tempering expectations with him. I hope people don't expect him to be Klay Thompson right away. If he can be any semblance, if he can be 70% of what Klay Thompson used to be, even by playoff time, I mean, that's a miracle, in my opinion. But, yeah, look, their defense was good last year, Gary. They were, I believe, fourth in defensive rating last year when they had a middling-type team. And that has carried over into this season. They're the best defensive team in the league. Offensively, they've been much better this year, although over the last 5 or 6 games, that has slowed down some. I believe under 100 in almost all of those games in the last 5 or 6. So, Steph's a little cold here to start January. I would imagine he'll heat up just like he always does again, because they'll go as Steph goes from an offensive perspective. But, I'm not completely surprised that they're near the top, but somewhat surprised that they're at the top.
Wrapping up here with George Sedano from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, there's, I guess, a debate about whether Golden State, as currently constructed, is good enough to win a championship, or if they'll try to package some things and go get a win-now player to add to that core. And if they package things, one of those things could theoretically be a former University of Memphis player, James Wiseman. How do you think Golden State handles the trade deadline?
Look, they're always going to be active. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But they feel good. Like, my conversations with them, and I've had them now multiple times over the last two seasons, they feel pretty good about where they're headed. Right? Like, if you think about it, they've got guys now with Clay back that have brought them all these championships. They have been the core of the championship beyond Kevin, but you know they've been the core that has been there the whole time. Then they've got good role players. You know, Andre Iguodala on this team. They got Otto Porter, who might be the best minimum signing we've had in the entire NBA this season. That guy's playing awesome. And, you know, Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins, you know, I had this conversation with them last season about Wiggins and just asked them, you know, because he was playing pretty well last year for them. And the conversation, I got this from multiple people, was like, you know, he can play free now. He doesn't have the burden of being the franchise guy. He can just play, and he's really damn good. So that's what we're seeing with him. So they got him. And then the young guys, Jordan Poole, who I would include in that conversation, I think is going to be a six-man of the year candidate moving forward for many years. You know, I think Kuminga is going to be a player. I think Moody's going to be a player. And I think Wiseman's going to be a player. But your point, they've got that flexibility where they can move some of those guys to add in another impact player. I just don't know if that player is going to be out there, Gary, just because I think that the trade deadline in general in the NBA is going to be muted some. And we saw that last year because of the play-in situation. The play-in keeps teams in it longer, which means, I think, less activity during the trade deadline.
That makes sense. That's George Sedano from ESPN. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, @Sedano. Always appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks for being here.
You got it, Gary. Anytime, man. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Take care. That's George Sedano from ESPN. When we come back, national championship game, college football. It was last night. Wasn't the highest scoring game in the history of the sport, but it was wildly entertaining and competitive, at least until the final minutes. Georgia wins it. First national championship in 41 years. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, now they got me wanna rap again. Heal the wound and then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat.
Goat body.
Are you rap? Sound like me, can't tell who is who. You got no real identity, can't tell you from you. Price went up.
Yeah.
Angel Jeff Cock is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll get back into the Grizzlies then. Grizz Warriors inside FedEx Forum tonight. Tip scheduled at 7 o'clock. Jessica Benson, I have pregame with you at 6:30. Right now, though, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 4:44. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
College football playoff championship game was held last night in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium. Georgia wins it 33-18. So the Bulldogs are national champions. For the first time in 41 years, they won the game, and they also covered the number. Funny business, Bennett.
It was funny business, GP, and I was feeling really good in the first half. I was like, oh, here we go. Alabama about to just control this clock the entire game, and it didn't happen.
You walked right into some funny business.
I know, man. It really was funny business, too, because the first half was terrible. I mean, what was it, like 9-6 at
halftime? 9-6 at the half.
Yeah, like it was awful. It was nothing but field goals, you know, slow, boring. I was like, okay, this is why there's a little bit of weirdness going on with this one, just because of how this is playing out in the first half. And then the second half, you were right. It was nothing but funny business.
I told you. I tried to tell you that number was put at Georgia -3, at Georgia -2.5, and everybody was looking at it and saying, Nick Saban as an underdog? How would I not take Nick Saban as an underdog, especially when Nick Saban's team just beat the mess out of this team a few weeks ago? I'm taking Alabama plus the points. And mm-hmm. I said, they're begging you to do that. It's funny business.
Yeah, it absolutely was. But, happy for the dogs.
Happy for the dogs. You were bored in the first half. I thought it was true. I thought it was great.
I want to see touchdowns, man. I want to see touchdowns in my football games.
See, I can enjoy a low-scoring football game if I feel like it's still being played at a high level, just as much as I can enjoy, you know, a 1-0 baseball game or a 2-1 baseball game. It's weird to me how if you get two monster pitchers, you know, faced up in a wild card game and it's 0-0 in the seventh, we talk about that as a classic. Like, oh boy, these guys are dealing. You had that a few years ago. I guess it was 2016 Giants-Mets wild card
yep.
game. Madison Bumgarner, Noah Syndergaard. And, you know, it was, I think, 0-0 deep into the game. Giants ultimately won it. And that was, like, considered a great game, even though there was no scoring. But for some reason, if there's no scoring in football, or very little scoring in football, people rarely equate that to a great game or even a good game. They call it boring. I don't understand that. I like both.
You know, I mean, I guess I do too. It's just I already wasn't super thrilled about the national championship last night. Like, I was like, oh, God, here we go again. You know, Alabama, Georgia, whatever. And so I kind of was predisposed to, like, this could be, you know, not fun. Like, I'm not that excited about it. And then there's nothing happening is really in the first half offensively. So it's kind of why I was, eh.
So it was 9-6 at the half. Under was looking fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Georgia scores 20 points in the fourth quarter to pull away. But with, you know, 4 minutes to go, this was still a one-point game. And so Alabama was in it to the end, and then it got a little lopsided because of a pick six, a 79-yard interception return that was the longest in national championship game history. So just a nice moment for Kirby Smart, for that fan base, for the entire state. Like we talked about in recent weeks, when you start trying to identify the sports team that is cared about most intensely in the state of Georgia, it's not the Atlanta Braves, and it's not the Atlanta Falcons, and it's not the Atlanta Hawks. It's University of Georgia football. Like, they care deeply about that. It's the most important, you know, sports team in that state. And for them to finally, you know, after all these years, you know, four decades, you know, win another national championship, and to do it against the monster that is Alabama and the monster that is Nick Saban, you know, I know that a lot of people didn't want to watch Alabama-Georgia again. I get that, especially if you live in California or the Northeast. But I don't know that there's anybody Georgia would rather defeat to win a national championship than Nick Saban and Alabama under these circumstances. So it was a monster night and for that program, for that state, for that fan base, and a special night for N'Kobe Dean, you know, the product from Horn Lake, Mississippi, who ended up with four solo tackles in the game and was, you know, among the reasons Alabama was limited to just 18 points. He is widely regarded as, you know, the leader of that defense and widely viewed as a future first-round NFL draft pick. And even in pregame, they were talking about not just N'Kobe Dean, but N'Kobe Dean from Horn Lake, Mississippi. They have gotten into a habit of attaching Horn Lake, Mississippi to him, as if they're rubbing it in my face.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're up against it. We talked about this yesterday.
It's over for me.
It's over for you. I think he might be claiming the Horn Lake crown. I really do. I don't know. you're probably just going to step your game up a little bit more, GP.
I don't know what else I can do, Bennett.
I know, you're all over the place. It's just, you just didn't play in a national championship game and win last night. I think that's the problem.
Like, I feel like I've maximized my talent.
We'll work on some stuff.
This is about as good as I'm going to get, I think.
I don't know, man. You're super talented. There's more out there for you. I know.
I don't know that there is. I mean, I appreciate you saying it, but I don't. I'm on TV. I'm on radio. Host podcast. I write. I rank basketball teams. This is about as good as it gets for me. If I'm being honest with myself, I don't even know if I deserve all of everything I got. This is about as good as it gets for me. If I'm not peaking now, I peaked years ago. It's over for me. Yeah. Kobe Dean's the future of Horn Lake, Mississippi.
I think that's true. But, I mean, listen, in retrospect, you had a great run.
I had a pretty good run.
Years of being the biggest celebrity out of Horn Lake.
Certainly at least a decade.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I know Brandon Jackson was an NFL running back, but I say this as respectfully as I can say it. Not a lot of people remember that.
No.
He's not known as the king of Horn Lake.
No, he's not the pride of Horn Lake. No,
he's not the pride of Horn Lake. I mean, I feel like even when he was scoring touchdowns in the NFL, I could go tit for tat with him.
Yeah.
Now that he's not doing that anymore, I feel like, I say this as respectfully as I can say it, he sunk down a little bit, and I maintained my position.
Yeah.
But now there's this new young stud. He just won a national championship.
Yeah, and the sky's the limit, let's be honest.
Yeah, he's going to the NFL. He probably won a championship there, too. It's over for me. But it's fine. I'm comfortable with it. I had a good run.
Good.
And, if I've got to give my crown of Horn Lake to someone or have it taken from me, who better than Nakobe Dean, who by all accounts is an outstanding young man, both on the field and off. And so I'm happy for him, proud of him, and I was honestly, genuinely, jokes aside, thrilled to get to see him have that moment last night.
Story number two.
So while Georgia was winning a national championship last night, Penny Hardaway was holding his weekly radio show, and among other things, he said that they are still actively trying to schedule a game, and he specifically mentioned Colorado State as an option. Seemed to imply they've been working on Colorado State but haven't been able to get that done. But I do think that's smart to target a team like Colorado State, because that might be, not definitely, but might be the type of game you have to get. Because the truth is, the only teams that are going to want to schedule Memphis on the fly are teams that are going to need games for the same reasons Memphis need games. And if you're in the Big 12, you don't need any more opportunities. You need a break. Like, every night in the Big 12 is an incredible opportunity, just about. So you don't need to schedule a Memphis to get another Quad 1 opportunity. You've got a million Quad 1 opportunities in your league. Same thing in the Big 10. It's less true in the ACC, but still mostly true in the ACC, even though that league is down. Same thing for any power conference, really. Like, those teams, like, you might be able to get a game with them, but when you combine the fact that they've got so many opportunities in their league, they don't need to go outside the league in January, February, or March to get a game. When you combine that with Memphis's vaccine issues, I just think you're going to have a hard time getting somebody from one of those conferences, at least a good team from one of those conferences, to schedule you. But Colorado State, they might end up in the same boat Memphis finds itself in, which is in search of opportunities that they can't get enough of in their league because they're a Mountain West team. So I think it's smart of Penny and his staff to reach out to Colorado State and maybe other teams like Colorado State. Like, go find a good Mountain West team or a really good Atlantic 10 team or a good West Coast Conference team not named Gonzaga, and see if those teams want to get together on the fly to play a game that could benefit both of you, in the sense that it gives you both an opportunity to add a quality win to a resume that might be lacking them otherwise as you approach Selection Sunday. So, again, the news from last night is that Penny and his staff are actively working on that, and though it appears that Colorado State might not get done, there are other schools outside of the traditional power structure that are going to have good computer numbers, good records, good resumes, and those might be the types of teams that Memphis can actually
get a game with. Although, again, I do think it's important for Memphis to be able to clarify and upgrade its vaccination status, because just like Rick Barnes at Tennessee said, and trust me when I tell you a lot of coaches feel this way, you're not going to schedule a game with a team that's got too many unvaccinated players. Not because you're worried necessarily about your players getting sick being on the court with them, but because you're worried about, you know, players being tested, you know, shortly before a game, and then perhaps after you've already traveled, got that plane, got those hotels, spent a lot of money, the game could get canceled at the last minute. Obviously, any team is susceptible to something like that, but the team with unvaccinated players is more susceptible, and that's a concern for opposing coaches. And as far as we know right now, among the reasons that opposing coaches might be skeptical of trying to do a game on the fly with Memphis. But Memphis is working on it. That's the news. We'll see if they get anything done.
Story number three.
A big night in college basketball tonight. Really busy schedule because basically everybody, including every ranked team, was off Monday night. Not necessarily because of the college football national championship game, but it does appear that, you know, that basketball schedules around that. And it's because ESPN takes all of its channels and devotes them to the national championship game. Yep. And so you just can't get on ESPN2, ESPNU, any of those channels. So you just schedule around it. And so tonight things get going again, and you've got lots of interesting games. Texas Tech at Baylor, Iowa State at Kansas. The most interesting one, I think, is probably Auburn at Alabama. And I bring that one up because, you know, Alabama winning, and Alabama is favored over Auburn, even though Auburn's on an 11-game winning streak and ranked fourth in the AP poll. A win by Alabama would, you know, by extension, help Memphis, because Memphis owns that win inside FedEx Forum over Nate Oates' Crimson Tide. And so it's interesting that these are both two good teams, but there are two teams heading in different directions right now. Again, Auburn on an 11-game winning streak featuring, you know, wins over LSU, Florida, Loyola Chicago. Alabama just 3-3 in its past six games. And they've got one of the weirdest, if not the weirdest, resumes in the entire sport. Like, Alabama has four quadrant one wins. You know, they've beaten Gonzaga, Houston, Tennessee, Florida. But they've also got two losses outside of the first quadrant. One of them is a neutral court loss to Rick Pitino's Iona team, and the other one came this past weekend. They lost at Missouri, and Missouri is 203rd in the net, 148th at KenPom, 191st BPI, just really not good. And so when Alabama goes and loses that game, that's a quad three loss. And so Alabama's got some of the biggest wins in the country. And, you know, for a good team, among the worst losses in the country. And what it suggests is that Alabama in its current form is good enough to beat literally anybody, already beaten Gonzaga, and favored tonight over Auburn. But they're also shaky enough to lose to pretty much anybody. And the reason, and we've talked about Alabama a lot over the past couple of years because I'm just really fascinated by the dedication to the style of play. It's why they were able to win an SEC outright title last season, but it's also why they've been a little up and down this season, or a lot up and down. You know, they're going to play fast, and they're going to launch about half their shots from three-point range every game. Well, last season they shot it better from three-point range than they're shooting it this season. And last season they guarded a lot better than they guarded this season. So, but they're still committed to the exact same style of play. So what happens? Well, when they play well, shoot the and by play well, that often means like shoot it well, they can beat anybody. Gonzaga, Houston, Tennessee, Florida. But when they don't shoot well, and in general they don't shoot it as well this season as they did last season, when they don't shoot well, because they don't guard very well this season either, they're susceptible to being upset. And that's why they've already been upset multiple times this season, including by the University of Memphis just a few weeks ago. So nothing that happened tonight will surprise me. Auburn going in there and winning for a 12th consecutive time would not be surprising. Auburn, I think right now, has got the second-best resume
in the country behind only Baylor. But Alabama bouncing back, knocking down like, you know, 13 of 30 three-pointers to win inside Coleman Coliseum wouldn't be surprising either. But that is probably the most entertaining game tonight on the schedule at the collegiate level. And, oh, by the way, both have likely one-and-done lottery picks. At Auburn, Jabari Smith, who is developed into somebody who's a real candidate to be the first pick in the 2022 NBA draft. And then in Alabama, J.D. Davison, the five-star point guard, who is playing mostly off the ball but can alternate with Javon Quinterly in Alabama's backcourt, which gives the Crimson Tide two primary ball handlers pretty much at all time.
Story number four.
Antonio Brown spoke again last night about his wild exit from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was walking into a restaurant, Craig's, in Los Angeles to have dinner with Kanye West and Julia Fox. I don't know if Kanye West and Antonio Brown need to be hanging out too much.
It seems like not the best.
But Kanye's in this place where he seems to like to reach out to these people. Like, you know, he reached out to Marilyn Manson, reached out to DaBaby, had them both at a listening party when they were going through tough times. And now here's Antonio Brown showing up to meet with Kanye West at a restaurant in Los Angeles. So, needless to say, Kanye West is there, the paparazzi's there, and as Antonio Brown is walking in, they start asking him questions, and he did acknowledge, Bennett, that his exit, you know, taking his clothes off on national television and throwing them into the crowd.
Sure, I remember.
He did acknowledge for the first time that, yeah, it was probably unnecessary and probably unprofessional.
Well, at least he realizes.
At least they, you know what? Some people never realize their mistakes, you know? They continue to believe they weren't mistakes for the longest time. At least Antonio Brown, you know, a week later, can acknowledge that it probably wasn't necessary to quit his football team and throw his clothes into the crowd in the middle of the game. And he can also acknowledge that it wasn't professional. So the first step, somebody told me this one time or I read it somewhere, the first step to improvement is acknowledging a mistake.
Yeah.
Acknowledging a shortcoming. And so Antonio Brown has, at the very least, last night to paparazzi in California, taken that step. Now we'll see what the next step is. Jeff Calkins is up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.